take his mask and shut. I ain't wearing it no more. Y'all look at me like I'm from Mars when I don't wear it in the store. Don't even try to make me put it on or I'm walking out the door. Take his mask and shut. I ain't wearing it no more. I've been shopping in this place for almost 15 years. And I've seen all kinds of viruses, but I've never lived in fear. Now I know that Corona's real and it probably ain't a lot to ask. But I ain't a bank robber and I ain't the Lone Ranger and I don't want to wear this mask. Take this mask and shove it. I ain't wearing it no more. Y'all look at me like I'm the devil when I don't wear it in the store. Don't even try to make me put it on or I'm walking out the door. Take his mask and shove it. I ain't wearing it no more. COVID-19's a real bad dude and they say there ain't no cure. Hydroxychloroquine or a new vaccine, I just can't be sure. Think I'll drink a little shine every morning when I start my day. Might not kill the virus, but it'll give me the courage to say, take this mask and shove it. Corona needs to be gone. My woman stays home, spends all my money on Amazon. I just want to hug everybody like I did before. So take this plague and shove it. We ain't taking it no more. And take this mask and shove it. No, honey, I got it right here. I told you I was going to put it on. It's right here. I'm wearing it. I ain't going without it.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Armchair Survivalist. My name is Kurt Wilson. I'm The Armchair Survivalist, and today is October the 3rd in the year 2021. Sorry I wasn't here last week, guys. I lost my voice, literally. It just, out of the blue. So it's fine. I'm feeling better. I still have a little mini frog in my throat, but everything's fine. I've got no strange viral disease or mutation or any of that crap. Anyway, real quickly, let's get just some information for the company, Survival Enterprises, SE1.us, survivalenterprises.com. Our phone number is 310-295-9686. I sell a VPN service. This is a virtual private network, and I'm going to actually put up a whole page to explain this to people because this is going to protect you. Many people have no clue what this is about. It hides your existence, it hides your location from all but the most articulate and expert hackers. And it's getting to the point now in the world where I don't care who you are, you're a target. And we have our Mountain House food has just come in again, another pallet. I was able to find 48 more buckets. There, it's a little different mixture this time of pouches inside the buckets. So it's only $110 in the store in Hayden, Idaho, or $135 if you want me to ship it anywhere in the United States. So we have those in, and I think I have 40 of them left now. I have some ham radios still left, portable ones, $50 ones, and I have the shortwave radios left. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that you need to buy something, if you think you're going to need underwear in the next year, if you think you're going to need shoes, tires, windshield wipers, I don't care. You better buy them now. I mean now, literally, because it's getting to be so bad that the supply chain, there's things disappearing. I had to remove a whole shelf here because I couldn't get the health products, because the only thing I can get were ingredients out of China, and there's no way in hell I'm selling anything contaminated like that. All right, now, before we get into anything, on my show for CBD, and by the way, CBD is on sale. It's basically 20% off, and that will never happen again, ever. This sale is going through the end of this month, the end of October. So Halloween night at midnight, the sale's over. But I left out some very vital information about hemp and about what CBD can do. So we're going to play that clip right now before I get into the economy or anything else.
Hemp has a long and fascinating history. It is believed to have originated in China. Hemp features on 4,000-year-old Egyptian hieroglyphics. Records show it was used for fiber and medicine. It features highly in ancient Chinese history as an important food, fiber, and medicine. The first paper was even invented in China, and that was made from hemp. Europeans were already making hemp bioplastics over 2,000 years ago. The first book to come off a printing press was the Gutenberg Bible, 560 years ago. Due to the superior quality of hemp paper, pristine copies still exist today. The first three American presidents were all hemp farmers. The Declaration of Independence was even written on hemp paper. Why use up the forests, which were centuries in the making, and the mines, which required ages to lay down, if we can get the equivalent of forests and mineral products in the annual growth of the hemp fields, says Henry Ford. The world's first cars ran on sustainable, non-polluting hemp oil. In fact, Henry Ford built a hemp car that ran on that hemp oil. Its hemp bioplastic body panels made the car 30% lighter than a steel car and were so strong that they could not be dented with a sledgehammer. Some people may think hemp is something new, but they couldn't be more wrong. For 5,900 years, hemp has been Earth's most important commodity. It was only 80 years ago that it became the Earth's most persecuted commodity. Hemp is now returning to being Earth's most important commodity. It is Earth's most sustainable source of food, fiber, fuel, medicine, building materials, and many other things. Over 20,000 eco-friendly products can be made from hemp. These, plus thousands of other eco-friendly products, all from one plant. Prior to 1930s, our food, fuel, fiber, and medicine was natural, organic, and environmentally sustainable. Hemp can provide everything humans need to live comfortably, happily, and sustainably. Often called an alternative, hemp is in fact the primary, premium, preferred source of life's essentials. It is superior to modern-day sources of paper, building materials, fuel, plastic, food, and medicine. So if hemp is the solution to everything, why aren't we using hemp for everything now? By the time of World War I, in 1914, a new industry was emerging, synthetic chemicals. These men were heavily invested in petrochemicals and synthetic pharmaceuticals. They stood to lose a lot of money and control of industry if hemp was allowed to be used for food, paper, medicine, clothing, and fuel. So they orchestrated a plan to have hemp outlawed. Andrew Mellon used his political influence to have his nephew, Harry Anslinger, appointed as the director of the new Federal Bureau of Narcotics in the USA. He then launched a PR campaign to deceive consumers into thinking that cannabis was a dangerous drug. Anslinger created propaganda films such as Reefer Madness and Devil's Harvest to demonize cannabis. The movies and advertisements that Hearst published in his newspapers promoted various lies about cannabis. These included claims that cannabis was causing white women to have sexual relations with black men, causing teenagers to commit murder and suicide, causing black people to think they were as good as white people. They were successful at creating so much fear that it persuaded the US government to create new laws which prohibited cannabis in all its forms, which included hemp. Anslinger then used USA's influence of the United Nations to have cannabis banned in 150 countries. The synthetic chemical industry had now eliminated its number one competition. The outlawing of hemp and reliance on synthetic man-made sources of food, fuel, fiber, and medicine plunged Earth into a new age of unprecedented pollution, disease, and war. The rate that we are poisoning ourselves and the planet is out of control. Everyone viewing this presentation is in contact with synthetic chemicals right now. The foods you have eaten, any medications you take, any paper or plastic that you have touched, the clothes you are wearing, the cosmetics and personal care products you use, the air you breathe while traveling. All of these expose your body to chemicals that speed up the process of getting older and sicker. In recent years, Argentina has introduced farming of genetically modified foods and the widespread use of Monsanto's chemical weed killer Roundup. It is suspected that Roundup is to blame for the rapid increase in cancer and birth defects that occurred immediately after Roundup's introduction. In a recent interview, a representative of Monsanto claimed that Roundup was not to blame and that it was so safe you could drink a whole liter of it without being harmed. The interviewer asked the rep if he would drink Roundup. The rep said yes, he would. The interviewer, who had a container of Roundup hidden in the room, then offered him a glass of Roundup to drink. The Monsanto rep refused to drink it and said, "I'm not an idiot," and he terminated the interview. Days later, the World Health Organization announced official concerns that Roundup, the world's number one herbicide, could indeed cause cancer. Hemp produces materials that can replace all of the harmful products of our synthetic age. Hemp produces foods and medicines that support good health and reverse the damage created by toxins. The good news is that hemp is making a comeback and growing rapidly. People want an answer and are learning that the answer is hemp. The wall of persecution that has been holding hemp back for the last 80 years is like a dam that is now showing signs of cracking. Here are some examples of what people are doing with hemp. This is Anthony Brenner. His daughter suffers from a rare genetic disease and cannot tolerate the toxic chemicals used in making most modern homes. So in 2010, he created USA's first hemp house for his family to live in. And this is no crude mud hut. Here are some of the benefits of building the house from hemp. Because hemp is pest, mold, and fire resistant, he saved 60% on home insurance. He's saving 50% on heating and cooling costs. Building from hemp increases the life of the home from 80 to 800 years. Hempcrete is non-toxic and actually filters existing toxins from the air. Hempcrete breathes, allowing more fresh air to permeate the inside of the house. Hemp is also carbon negative. Building with hemp actually cleans the environment. Hempcrete is recyclable. If you decide you want to change your house design, the hemp materials can be safely broken down and returned to the ground. And once you've built your hemp home, if you have any wood that needs to be protected from the elements, tests have proven that hemp oil-based wood treatments like Hemp Shield outperform the current best-selling chemical products. And buildings aren't the only thing that can be built from hemp. In Canada, this man is building an aeroplane from hemp. The result will be a plane that is lighter, yet stronger than a regular aeroplane, and will run on non-polluting hemp biodiesel. The Canadians are also making a car from hemp. The impact-resistant body panels are lighter than glass, but stronger than steel. And what would an electric hemp car be without batteries made from hemp? US scientists have discovered that the hemp stalk, when heated a certain way, turns into carbon nanosheets, which are more effective at holding electrical charge than any other known material. They're using it to create these supercapacitors, kind of space-age battery that may be charged instantly. And we've all seen clothes made from hemp, but how about hemp clothes that are rendered waterproof using cellulose extracted from hemp leaves? That's exactly what this Dutch company have done to their luxury hemp clothing range. As wonderful as some of these innovations are, the thing that is most accessible, most affordable, and offers the most immediate benefits is what hemp can do for your health. It is a unique source of food and medicine unlike anything else. Humans can't live without essential fatty acids, or EFAs for short. Hemp has more than any other food. It contains omega-3 and omega-6 in the ideal ratio for human health. Hemp is a better source of omega oils than fish oil. Hemp does not contain the heavy metal poisons that fish do. It doesn't quickly go rancid like fish oil, and producing hemp oil actually cleans the environment rather than polluting it. 60% of the human brain is made of omega-3 and omega-6 essential fatty acids. That's 30% each. To have the healthiest brain requires getting enough of these essential fatty acids in the right balance. Hemp is unique in that it is not only the highest source of these essential fatty acids, it's the only source to contain them in the perfect ratio. In his book, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, Udo Erasmus calls hemp seed oil nature's most perfectly balanced oil. Like omega oils, humans can't live without essential amino acids. They are the building blocks of proteins and serve other metabolic functions in the body. Hemp protein contains twice as much essential amino acids as animal meat, and three times as much as chia seeds. Our immune system is built from edistin and albumin proteins. Hemp is the only protein source that consists exclusively of these two kinds of protein. Magnesium is the fourth most abundant mineral in your body. It is required for over 300 important processes in the body. It is especially important for detoxification, preventing headaches, diabetes, heart attacks, and strokes. Hemp is also a rich source of calcium and potassium, the two most abundant minerals in the body. As important as the essential fats, proteins, and minerals are, the most important of hemp's health benefits come from another unique group of nutrients known as cannabinoids. There are 500 natural chemicals found in the hemp plant. Approximately 100 of them are cannabinoids. These are the compounds you hear about on television being used for people suffering from epilepsy, cancer, pain, anxiety, and many other conditions. The most prominent cannabinoid in hemp, and the one that appears to have the greatest health benefits, is CBD. CBD stands for cannabidiol. Unlike THC, the dominant chemical found in marijuana, CBD is not psychoactive. It won't get you high. The reason cannabinoids like CBD are so important for the body is that the body has a system called the endocannabinoid system. Scientists are calling it one of the most important physiological systems involved in establishing and maintaining human health. It is a system of nerve and cell receptors throughout your body. They influence every system and process in the body. They give nerves the ability to send two-way communication, something that was previously thought to be impossible. These receptors are essential for maintaining proper function and balance. They are particularly important for recovery and repair. By supplying your endocannabinoid system with the cannabinoid nutrients it needs, you get the following benefits: antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, anti-anxiety, anti-psychotic, anti-epileptic, anti-cancer, anti-nausea, antibacterial, anti-diabetes, anti-arthritis, neuroprotective, cardioprotective, pain relief, bone stimulant, and immune modulator. One of the benefits that was recently discovered is CBD's ability to help you overcome addiction. In this research in the UK, scientists discovered that small doses of CBD dramatically reduce the cravings for cigarettes and reduce the anxiety that would ordinarily occur when someone stops smoking. These results were clearly evident by the end of the first week of the experiment. In 2013, Australia, the driest inhabited continent on Earth, grew 1.1 million acres of genetically modified water-hungry cotton. If that same area of land had been used to grow hemp, each acre would have yielded up to 400% more fiber. That resulting fiber would have been of a higher quality. In addition to the fiber, it would have produced enough premium quality food to completely satisfy the protein, omega-3 and omega-6 needs of every single person in Australia for over 5 months. Over 2 million megalitres, that's 2 million million litres of water, would have been saved. Millions of litres of pesticides and herbicides would not have been added to Australia's air, soil and water. Genetically modified organisms would not have been introduced to Australia's ecosystem. Our focus is growing as much certified organic hemp seeds in Australia for our needs and for export. Eating hemp foods is permitted in most countries in the world, including Japan, North America and Europe. THC, the drug ingredient, is not allowed or contained in these foods in any psychoactive amounts. In fact, the regulators say that hemp foods are safe, non-psychoactive, valuable nutrition, and no, you won't fail a drug test also. Right now, it's the perfect time to get behind hemp. If you're not already, start using hemp products today. Each time you do, you will be benefiting yourself and the planet and providing resources to all these hard-working industries you've just heard about so that they may continue to provide more and better products for us all to benefit from together.
Now, I have a little four-minute clip here, and this is one of the most vital clips that I could find, and it shows the reality of what CBD derived from hemp can accomplish.
Back in September of 2012, 3-year-old Landon Riddle developed a sore throat and swollen lymph nodes one night. It was likely just a virus, his doctors thought, but the reality ended up being much worse. Acute lymphocytic leukemia, or ALL. It's a cancer of the blood and bone marrow. It's one of the most common cancers in children. It's also one of the most treatable, but the therapy was going to be tough.
They started him on chemo, but told us that he probably wasn't going to make it, that he only had like an 8% chance to live 24 to 48 hours.
The chemo made the little boy very sick, nauseated, vomiting, barely able to walk or talk. His mother, Sierra, wanted to try anything to help and eventually found medical marijuana. Now, again, Landon is just 3 years old. They'd come from Utah, where medical marijuana was not legal, to Colorado, where it was. And for Landon, it seemed to work. He rebounded, able to eat, sleep, just be a kid. But Sierra told us something else, something surprising. She believed that the marijuana was healing him, not just from the ravages of chemo, but from his cancer as well.
I think that chemo in combination with cannabis did put him into remission, and now cannabis will keep him there.
Sierra was so sure of marijuana's healing properties that 6 months after her son started the treatments, she decided to stop his chemotherapy altogether. Her argument, the chemo was too toxic and the cannabis was not. She said the doctors were stunned at her decision.
The options were to either, you know, voluntarily agree to the chemo and steroid plan for the next 3 years or to refuse it, in which they would take us to court and have it court ordered anyways. And the possibility of them removing Landon from my care would come into play at that point.
So Riddle found a lawyer willing to take on the case. Attorney Warren Edson.
It didn't appear she was doing anything wrong other than just being a mom and trying to do what's in the best interest of her kid.
In an effort to avoid a court battle, Riddle, her mother Wendy, and Edson met with Landon's doctors and Child Protective Services.
They said they were willing to work with us. They said they were willing to alter the chemo plan, and they're not. They did not do that at all.
And that's not surprising. While many mainstream doctors do support the use of cannabis to offset the side effects of chemotherapy, as things stand now, no doctor would recommend cannabis instead of chemo. But there is a growing body of promising research. Dr. Julie Holland is the editor of the Pot Book.
It turns out it actually fights the cancer itself.
You're a doc. You've studied this. You've talked to the researchers. Marijuana can kill cancer cells.
I'm saying that, and there are many other researchers who are saying that too.
We've got lung samples from our treated mice.
Like San Francisco researchers, Pierre Desprez and Sean McAllister, who say they've seen firsthand what the cannabis compound cannabidiol, or CBD, can do. In their lab, they used CBD to kill mice and human cancer cells. We asked the American Cancer Society what they thought about all of this. And in a statement to CNN, they said, there is no available scientific evidence from controlled studies in humans that cannabinoids can cure or treat cancer. Even Landon's doctor, who prescribed his marijuana and is a firm believer in medical cannabis, is cautious about this.
Sierra has decided to stop the chemotherapy for Landon. I mean, as a doctor, and as a doctor who's seen his progress, is that something you would be on board with, that you'd recommend?
As a physician, again, I'm not sure that I could recommend that to a parent, to say, I can't say to them, I know that the CBD is a treatment that can work and you don't need the chemotherapy.
For the time being, Sierra Riddle is afraid of losing her son, so she is allowing chemotherapy once a month. She's also still trying to find an oncologist willing to take Landon off the chemo. So far, she's had no luck. But Sierra and her mother aren't giving up.
I want Landon to know that we did everything in our power to be compassionate in his care and to protect him. I want him to know that we were willing to go to bat. He's a three-year-old child.
If you guys could just come into the store and sit in a corner and listen and just wait for people to come in. Every day, somebody comes in who has bought the CBD from us. Now, we're the first place in Idaho to sell CBD oil, and we're the only place that deals directly to the farmers, the only place. Everyone else sells this so-called CBD for money. I mean, that's it. I'm sure I sell it for money, but I'm not making that much money on this stuff, and you can tell if you go online and look at the pricing. And on top of that, we have a critter care. This is a version specifically for animals. We have people come in here in tears, thanking us because their dog is now still alive and they didn't have to put it down because it was always in pain. We have people who raise very valuable dogs that are neurotic, like the St. Charles Spaniel, and they use the critter care on these dogs, and it's night and day, they say. Anyway, that's the last of the CBD stuff. Remember, it's on sale, 20% off. You can go to se1.us, survivalenterprises.com, cbdsupply.us. There's articles at the top of the page there. So, you know, there's all kinds of different places to go to. And you can also call us, 800-753-1981. All right, now, we got to get into the economy. If you haven't heard of Evergrande, this is a investment company in China. Now, remember in 2008 when Lehman Brothers went belly up? They were in the hole about $130 billion. They took down banks like crazy. They took down mortgage companies. They destroyed value of homes. They did all kinds of damage worldwide. Evergrande is they're keeping this as quiet as possible. This company is in arrears over $300 billion. They're pretty much controlled by the communist government, China. They have their fingers in every bank in the world. They have been buying property in the United States now for 10 years. This company is losing its butt, and it's about to go down. When it goes down, it's going to domino affect the whole planet. I don't know what all is going to happen, and there's no way I can predict it because they keep as much of this stuff as hidden as possible. But I've been warned to pull my money out of the bank. You know, we've had these warnings time and time again, but this is real. And I've done enough research on this to realize that the Chinese government is trying to hide so much data. This company has failed to make two interest-only payments on its loans. They're either filing bankruptcy now or about to file bankruptcy. I don't know. Anybody who cares is going to have to do some research on this themselves, and I'll have a link. If you go to armchairsurvivalist.com on the left-hand side, you'll see a link that says show notes. Click on that. That'll take you to a page with the individual dates for different shows. Click on this one, and you'll find the link on the Evergrande is set to fail. It's massive. Looking at all that's going on right now, Dimwit wants to raise all the taxes on everyone. It's quite real that the tax rate in New York City is going to be going to about 61%. And in California, now this is when you add city, county, state, and federal taxes, 61.2% in New York. And California, 59.7%. Yeah, you're smart to stay in California. Yeah. I've been getting various warnings all through the past couple weeks on the supply chain. And I've mentioned it before. The supply chain has so many different things, so many different facets to it. Everything that you buy, everything that you use is considered part of the supply chain. I've talked to a plumber yesterday. I've had this problem before. So he's installing a sink. He needs a 3-foot line hose that hooks the hot water to the hot water nozzle up on top. So that's what he needs, 3 feet. He doesn't have 3 feet. He's got one and a half, two. So he goes to Home Depot. No 3-footers. All they had were 1-footers. That's all they had. And the guy said, well, we don't know when we're going to get anything else in. And he said, that is not the only thing that he couldn't find. There were half a dozen different parts he needed to accomplish some various jobs he was working on. He couldn't find the parts, so the job has stopped. My next door neighbor is doing remodeling in a house in Post Falls. He had to stop. He couldn't get sheetrock. I've never heard of that, ever, not being able to get sheetrock. So he couldn't get sheetrock. He has to wait for a week for it to come in. There is a lot of stuff happening, and I'm going to tell you again, if you think you need something, and I don't care what it is, it could be silverware, it could be food, it could be underwear, it could be blankets, it could be getting your eyes checked, your teeth done. If you think anything, you need anything for the next year, you'd better get it done now, fast as possible. I have no days off. I'm doing everything that has to be done now. I've got to rebuild a generator now. That's what I should be doing right now. Anyway, I've been talking to logistics managers, and there is one gentleman. He works for one of the largest logistic companies on earth. And he doesn't talk just about what's happening in the United States. He's talking about all over the world. Most of you know that there's between 60 and 100 giant container ships off the coast of California that can't get unloaded because there's only skeleton crews working at the docks. And there's not that many drivers to haul this stuff around. And there's not as many people working at the distribution plants for them to drop off the containers and have them unloaded. You see, this is a domino effect. So he's telling me, Portney, he says, yeah, there's about 100 of them in California, and there's a bunch more on the East Coast. But the big problem is what's happening in China right now. So I got a clip here of a news article. Even the local news in Los Angeles is starting to pick it up. And then right after that, you'll hear him talking.
Some big problems at the Port of Los Angeles. Take a look here. A huge backlog of ships and cargo off the coast. Containers full of goods are simply stuck at sea right now. Meanwhile, on land, truck drivers say they are tired of waiting for their payload. The port director says, though, there's really only so much that can be done to tackle this massive problem.
I've been trucking 31 years.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, this is a phenomenon, for real. This is bad.
The Port Authority there in Los Angeles says the feds really have to step in at this point.
154 as of Friday waiting to load export cargo off Shanghai and Ningbo in China. Talked about the port congestion out in China. We've talked about Shanghai, Jiangsheng, Ningbo, Mangdong. We've talked about all those things. And now there's 154 in that area. And basically, they're actually saying that the number of container ships anchored off Shanghai and Ningbo has surged over recent weeks. There are now 242 container ships waiting for berths countrywide. So we're not just talking about in the ports, but outside the ports, just like we saw in California, where it peaked out at 100, they have way over twice that out in China.
In fact, up here, We have a Walmart right here in Hayden, and then there's another one in Post Falls. Between the two, they are waiting on 140-foot containers to come in with product that they normally sell at the stores. So you're getting the idea. If you need something, you better buy it while you can. None of this waiting to the last moment to buy Christmas gifts. I'm telling you that also. Now we're going to get into the health department, and I have so many links. I'm not even going to put them in order. I'm just going to read them to you because it's just utterly ridiculous. And remember, all the links that I'm talking about, all of this data is going to be in the show notes section of my website, armchairsurvivalist.com. You know, they have this news now. They're coming out with these booster shots. You know what the booster shot is? They just changed the name. It's another shot. It's the same injection they give you. There's three injections now they give you, and all three of them, they're exactly the same ingredients. They're just using a different word for stupid people, because stupid people are the ones that are taking these shots. 71% of the people that were surveyed after they got the injection, the genetic deformation injection, whatever you want to call it, they said booster. Well, that means the vaccination doesn't work. And here's something else. You're hearing lies nationwide about how it's unvaccinated people. This is a scourge of unvaccinated people that are causing the rates to go so high. No, 80% of the COVID deaths in America are from the vaccinated people. By the way, did you hear, I heard it for the past 3 days, that the infections now are slowing down. They're slowing down quite a bit. I've got a hypothesis on this. Now, I don't know if you remember, one of the articles I talked about a few shows ago was how the CDC has now invalidated the PCR test and said that it should not be used anymore. As of the end of December, everybody is supposed to stop using the PCR test. Really? The end of December. Do you know what the inventor of the PCR test said about the PCR test?
Dr. Kerry Mullis was awarded the Nobel Prize for his invention of the polymerase chain reaction, the PCR. The PCR is a method of analysis and wasn't designed to test for a virus. Mullis explains why.
And with PCR, if you do it well, you can find almost anything in anybody. It starts making you believe in the sort of Buddhist notion that everything is contained in everything else, right? I mean, because if you can amplify one single molecule up to something that you can really measure, which PCR can do, then there's just very few molecules that you don't have at least one single one of them in your body, okay? So that could be thought of as a misuse of it, just to claim that it's meaningful.
The PCR test can potentially find anything you are looking for, depending on how high you turn it up. And this is exactly what has been done. The official protocol given for the PCR testing of COVID-19 created a floodgate of false positives to skew the results. They call it asymptomatic because it's a lie. These people don't have symptoms because they don't have COVID-19.
This whole thing is a big sham.
The men at the highest levels were all in on it. Kerry Mullis knew these men were dangerous.
They don't want people like me walking up and asking them those kind of questions. And they're willing to, like, go to great lengths to prevent that. They're out on a limb.
But he was still outspoken. When ABC's Nightline approached him about doing a documentary on his work, not many people were listening back then. And on August 7th, 2019, just about 3 months before the first utterance of COVID-19, Kerry Mullis, age 74, a Nobel Prize winner, inventor of the PCR test, a man who was once willing and eager to expose Anthony Fauci, quietly died. The timing of it all is mysterious to many of us.
So everyone knew the PCR test was fraud in the beginning, and the CDC is telling them stop using it as of December 31st. I got the data. I read it to you guys. I put the link on my page. All three of the major vaccine companies have decided that they need to change the names of their vaccines. I'm serious. See, generally people are very stupid. They fall for anything. And of course, when I say people are stupid, I'm talking about Democrats. But then what the hell? You never know. There are stupid people in all facets of life, but the majority of them are good little fascist Democrats. So all three of the major COVID-19 vaccine manufacturers, they have new names for their jabs. Now, you understand, when they use the word emergency use authorization and then they use fully approved, It's the same exact product. They don't change anything. They don't need to. They change the words so that the ignorant would go, oh, well, that's better. Now I'll take it. So, let's see. Pfizer changed their vaccine name to be Comirnaty. Comirnaty. And then Moderna, they're also labeling their shots. The Moderna vaccine is going to be Spikevax, and the AstraZeneca vaccine will be named Vaxzevria. Vaxzevria. Oh, good God. Which is sold in Canada. So they changed the names to confuse the innocent. I guess that's how it's done. You've heard about the pill, all right? This is being pushed hard. That Merck has come out with this COVID pill, okay? I'm going to give you a warning right now. That pill was invented over 25 years ago. It was invented to treat encephalitis in horses. It was invented to help horses. And they decided they're going to change it. The company decided they're going to change it and use it to treat humans. Well, a whistleblower for the company came out and said, this cannot be given to any mammal because it's a mutagen. In other words, it mutates the DNA. This is known. I have a link to it. Everywhere you go to, PubMed even says this is a known mutagen. And do you know people are stupid enough to take it? Australia is recording 10 times more deaths than before. Of course, they can't put two and two together and say, well, now that we have 10 times more people getting vaccinated, well, that must be why we have 10 times more deaths. No, they're not going to put that together. Bermuda didn't have vaccines. And now that they have vaccines, they have a 5,600% increase in COVID infections. We know Biden has come out and said that he's going to mandate companies give shots to employees or force them to get him shots, and he's going to fine them and all of this stuff. We're watching on that now to see what happens. Now, Bolivia, and I already talked about this before, they're using chlorine dioxide or stabilized oxygen, MMS, whatever words you want to use on it, they're using it to kill the COVID disease. You know, all the COVID, quote unquote, is a coronavirus. That's all it is. And there's over 400 of them that humans have been affected with over the centuries. Damn near anything kills them. Gorillas in Atlanta Zoo are testing positive for COVID. Now, how can that be? Because their handlers all had the COVID shots, and they think that it's spreading from them. Teens. Yes, people are stupid enough, and so are children. And this is why children should never have the rights to determine their life, because they are stupid. They're taking the shots, these injections, right, all over the world. Heart inflammation is exploding. There are thousands and thousands of teenagers in the United States right now with heart problems because they took the shot. And in Idaho here, doctors are telling us that since the shots started being given out, there's a 20 times increase in cancer. Not just a coincidence, right? There is a state in India. A state, you know, people think of India, they think of big, and when they hear a state, they think of, you know, like California, you know, some millions of people. No, there's 241 million people in this India state. They decided not to take the vaccine, so they started ivermectin. They're COVID-free. 241 million people. COVID-free. Ivermectin. And by the way, just as an aside to this, I have a friend who wanted to get some dewormer for his goats. So he went to Tractor Supply, and they have this tube. It looks like a syringe, and it squirts out a apple-flavored goo. And it's 1.87% ivermectin. And strangely enough, I've known throughout my life that animal drugs are nothing more than renamed human drugs. So this ivermectin, you can go online and you can look up how to use ivermectin paste or how to use horse dewormer, and you will find all kinds of stuff. There's even a guy on YouTube that's showing exactly how to figure out how much to use for your weight, and you have to do it per your weight. And this stuff is anywhere from $5 to $10 a tube, and you can buy them at almost any vet store, vet shop, North 40, Tractor Supply, country stores, animal stores, and you can buy it online. I got 6 tubes of it for $30 delivered. I'm just saying, you know, this ivermectin is ivermectin. And if you have these communist insane elitists saying, we don't want you to use ivermectin because it's not approved by the FDA, well, that's fraud, because ivermectin for human use was approved in 1985. But you can get the ivermectin yourself. If you, you know, I'm not saying you should. I'm saying you could. Also, they're discovering that Lugol's iodine, which is an antimicrobial as well, it kills the COVID. You can take it, and some of my customers are doing this because we have nasal sprayers that we sell in-house, and they will put about 10 drops of the Lugol's iodine in a nasal sprayer and then fill it up with distilled water and spray it up their sinuses, spray it up their nose. It will kill any coronavirus. See, like I said, anything kills this stuff. Johnson & Johnson employees, none of them are vaccinated. They refuse to take the shot. They know what's in that crap. Los Angeles is about to bar people who have not had the injection from all businesses. And that includes stores. Can you see that? This is not communist China. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is in California. But they're about to say if you haven't had the vaccination, you can't go shopping for food. You look out there, wherever you're living right now, tell me, do you have a shortage of bus drivers, school bus drivers? Do you have a shortage of police? Do you have a shortage of the hospital? At the hospital, is there a shortage of people there? These psychotic communist organizations are passing in-house laws that mandate their employees get the shot. And their employees are saying, screw you, and leaving. Kootenai Hospital here lost 57 people. And now they're coming out and they claim we're hammered. We don't have enough people here to take care of all these sick COVID people that are coming in. Massachusetts State Police are resigning, hundreds of them. And in New York, the Mayor de Blasio has threatened to withhold pay from any cop New York Police Department who refuses to get the vax. They're going to withhold the pay. Oh, here's something else. Melatonin helps decrease the risk of getting any kind of coronavirus. And melatonin has been used for years to help people get to sleep. And it doesn't take that much to do it. We're going to be carrying some melatonin that's very powerful, 20 milligrams. That's part of a protocol that's out there. And I'll talk about that at some other time. But taking melatonin is one of the things you can do to help protect yourself. North Carolina Hospital fired about 175 employees because they refused to get the vax. This is getting insane. And then, investigative journalists like me, we use different governmental websites to find data. How many people have been sick? How many people have been hurt? You ever look in a factory and there's a sign up there that says blank days without injury, right? They write 28 days without injuries, right? Well, that's not because that was just a neat thing to do. It's ordered by OSHA. Well, Dimwit has ordered OSHA to hide any damage from vaccine injections.
The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, was established in the 1970s to inspect workplaces and establish standards to prevent industrial accidents. But starting this summer, the Biden administration gave OSHA a new role. Joe Biden told OSHA to start hiding information from the public to promote the COVID vaccine. Until this summer, OSHA required employers to retain records of any worker who suffered a serious side effect from the vaccine. Then in June, OSHA's guidance suddenly changed to this, quote, OSHA will not enforce federal recording requirements that require any employers to record worker side effects from COVID-19 vaccination. That was a major change, especially since we're still learning so much about these vaccines and their possible side effects. Just hours ago, for example, the Telegraph in Britain reported that, quote, teenage boys are six times more likely to suffer from heart problems from the vaccine than be hospitalized from COVID-19. And in Israel, where more than 80% of adults are vaccinated, COVID cases are spiking. Israel now has one of the world's highest daily infection rates. So what explains that? In his remarks to the nation, Joe Biden didn't answer that. Instead, he put OSHA, the same agency that's been hiding evidence of vaccine side effects, in charge of forcing millions of Americans to take the COVID vaccine. Biden didn't even bother to ask Congress. He said the new mandate is justified because COVID is a, quote, emergency. Then he walked away without taking questions once again. But let's look at the facts. On average, more than 98% of COVID-19 patients in the United States survive. That number is well over 99% for every age group, except for the very elderly, whether they're vaccinated or not.
I mentioned that you could always go get the ivermectin paste, but I have here a link that is a real-time analysis of ivermectin for COVID-19. It's used all over the world, and it always has. It has been for years and years and years, almost 50 years this stuff's been used. There's a security problem now because there's a certain group of warriors that are refusing to take the shot. Navy SEALs. That puts national security at risk. Nevada has been releasing the death number of people who have been vaccinated and have died. Well, magically, they stopped doing that. You know, the commies are saying, oh, this is breakthrough. This is a breakthrough. Breakthrough my ass. This is you get the jab and all of a sudden you are infected and your whole body is destroying itself and it's going to get sick. And they call that a breakthrough infection. It's all in the words, isn't it? And if the words are kinder, then the idiots will believe this stuff. That's one whole hospital in Texas is facing closure because they've mandated everybody get the vaccine. Almost every nurse and assistant and doctor has said, no, I'm not getting that nurse. United Airlines, you're going to hear this, okay? You're going to hear how there's a shortage of pilots and how airlines are having to back off of the lines that they fly. United Airlines is going to fire almost 700 employees because they refuse to get this injection. These are just one of the articles. That's United Airlines. Now you got to look at the other seven major airlines and how many hundreds of employees are quitting or being fired. The VA, this is another one of Dimwit's great ideas. The VA is threatening to withhold health benefits from people who refuse the injection. The VA is going to withhold your health benefits from unvaxxed veterans. Any of you guys out there that use the VA hospitals, you better check on this quick. Oh, and don't think that you can go on YouTube anymore and find out the truth about these so-called vaccinations, because YouTube, being good communists, are now banning everybody who is anti-vaccination. Not just anti-vaccination, but people who don't like this jab. I haven't even checked YouTube yet to see if they've banned me. And they usually don't tell you. They just, surprise, surprise, boom, you're done.
If you lie to the government, they'll put you in prison. But when they lie to all of us, it's called being a politician. You think taking guns away will save our kids from the killings? But you're pro-choice, abortion kills way more children. If America's so terrible and racist, it probably isn't safe to encourage immigration. Just saying, all the contradictions are embarrassing. You know who hates America the most? Americans. Trigger warnings used to be on TV for seizures, and now they're everywhere to protect millennials' feelings. He, she, his, him, hers, them, they. Screw a pronoun, cause everyone's a retard these days. I hear him preaching at the protest that hatred's the problem, but hating straight men, white folks, and Christians is common. Coca-Cola telling people they should be less white. They preach intolerance, but if you disagree, they fight. There's a race war here, elections based on fear. Black lives only matter once every 4 years. Soldiers died for this country, and every one of us benefits. Give welfare to the bums and forget about the veterans. Black folks and white folks divided by the news, but we are all the same. We are red, white, and blue. Ashamed to be American? Okay, that's cool. Cause honestly, we are all ashamed of you too.
Y'all are so fake. Oh no. The forecast said that there'd be snowflakes. Whoa. You can't make us see it your way. No way. Gasoline and propane. More flames.
So you notice how the liberals, they take words and they change words, they add words, they take words out. And I told you, it's all in the words. Here's an article that talks about what the American Communist Lawyers Union is doing. It's titled, ACLU's Rewriting of History Shows Just How Dangerous the Insidious March of Trans Ideology Has Become. This is the left's attempt to invalidate sexual sanity and to instill the willingness to grant tolerance to sexual perversion. They rewrote a statement from Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. In one of her speeches, she stated, "The decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a woman's life, to her well-being and dignity, is a decision she must make for herself. When government controls that decision for her, she is being treated as less than a fully adult human responsible for her own choice." Well, the ACLU reworded that. "The decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a person's life, to their well-being and dignity. When the government controls that decision for people, they are being treated as less than a fully adult human responsible for their own choices." See, what they're trying to do is to make it seem that a male can have a baby. Now, look, I can take something and shove it inside somebody's body, but I'm not going to call it a birth or a baby. But this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to claim that there is no difference between a male and female. They're both the same, right? You have to watch the words. You can't. I've seen so many people tolerant of this crap. You can't allow it. You have to stand up and say, that's BS. No. I see some guy walking around with a dress on. I'm going to call it. It's a very simple thing. None of this trans crap. None of this I identify as female. Transvestite is what they are. They're a sexual pervert, a male who likes to pretend he's female. This is a section here, obviously, of liberal psychosis. And in this section, you're going to see various articles of the psychosis of these communistic people. You call them liberals, you call them Democrats, I don't care what you call them. They need to destroy everything that's American, everything that's white, everything that's sane, everything that's American, everything that's patriotic. They need to destroy all of history, and they need to rewrite it to where people believe different things than what's real. You know, when I was a kid, I remember racism. I had to be taught racism because it's not a normal thing. And I'm being taught that different people are subhuman and blah, blah, blah. And as a kid, all I saw was what I saw in school. And I didn't understand it. And then I remember Martin Luther King. And basically, he was telling everybody, judge a man by his actions, not his color of his skin. And now here we are going 100% backwards. And yet all of the communists in the United States are saying, yes, we have to go backwards. That's the important thing. That's what we have to do now. So now the white people are the evil and the black people can never be evil. But everybody has to understand how evil white people are.
Okay, class. Today we're going to learn about critical race theory. Now, you don't have to like critical race theory, but if you don't, it's because you're a racist. And if you do like critical race theory, it's because you're a racist and you know you need it. Now, let's take a look at the vital points of critical race theory. Point number one, critical race theory says the most important thing about you is your skin color. That's what defines you as a person. Point number two, critical race theory says that if you're white, you're racist, whether it's conscious or subconscious. Point number three, critical race theory says if you're a minority, you're a victim of a system that's rigged against you. Point number four, critical race theory says racism is present in all interactions. And I really can't stress this enough to all you young racists. In other words, critical race theory is a movement that seeks to bring about racial unity by creating more racial division. Now let's break some of this down and dive deeper, shall we? Racism occurs in all interactions. It's always present. That's why you have to look for it critically. And if critical race theory is correct, that racism is present in all interactions, then after you find it, the racism will still be present. But at least now you can be angry about it. Present in all interactions, Mr. Sears? Yes, all interactions. Please consider this common example of one white customer and one black customer walking into a store owned by a white person. If the white owner helps the white customer first, he's only doing so because he's racist and he thinks the black customer is a second-class citizen. And if the white owner was to help the black customer first, we know he's only doing so because he's racist and wants to get the black customer out of his store quickly. Now, let's say you have a white store owner and two white customers walk in at the same time, and the white owner helps white customer A first. Where's the racism? It's in the fact that they're all white people because the store owner is racist and doesn't allow black people to shop there. And the two white customers are racist too, because the only reason why they're shopping there is because black people aren't allowed. Now let's put your critical race theory skills to the test. In this video of a squirrel playing with a toy, where's the racism? Anyone? Well, it's in the fact that the squirrel only feels safe enough to play with a toy because there's no black people around. Critical race theory, racism is present in all interactions, kids. And if a tree falls in the woods, and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound? No, because sometimes racism is silent. Moving along and diving deeper on the critical race theory point that the most important thing about you is your skin color. That's what defines you as a person. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Judge people based on the content of their character, not the color of their skin." He was wrong. With critical race theory, if Martin Luther King were alive today, you'd be working in opposition to his civil rights movement. That's why we don't teach about this terrible person anymore. Your skin color defines you as a person. Just like how when you see a hot model on Instagram, her looks define her as a person. That's all she is, hot and dumb. Except with critical race theory, we go even more superficial than that and say, she's not hot and dumb, she's even less than that. She's white. Children, you need to understand your skin color defines you. Now, if your parents ever tell you it's what's on the inside that counts, they're just trying to brainwash you into loving yourselves. Critical race theory is much better at helping you hate yourself and everyone else. Pop quiz! You have two students, white Bethany and black Nancy. White Bethany happens to do better on her math test. Why? Answer, because math is an inherently racist system. Now diving deeper on another critical race theory point, if you're white, you're racist. It's either conscious or subconscious. Now you might have friends that are black, you play with them, you love them, and if you do, you're acting out horrible subconscious racism. The only reason why you're genuine friends with them and love them is because you feel sorry for them, because you're a racist and you think you're better than them. Critical race theory has it that there's no other reasons why you'd be friends with a black person. And finally, let's expand on the critical race theory point that if you're a minority, you're the victim of a system that's rigged against you. The beauty of critical race theory is that it empowers black people by encouraging them to see themselves as victims in all situations and in life. And that's empowering. Now, if you ever attend a Tony Robbins event or read any self-help, you'll quickly discover that seeing yourself as a victim is a part of all good personal empowerment. Because if there's anything more accurate than seeing things as they are, it's seeing things as worse than they are. A wise man once said, "You can't be a victim and a master at the same time." So critical race theory says, don't try to be the master of your life, because it'll ruin your victimhood. A quick critical race theory history lesson. Critical race theory has its roots in Marxism, where you use hatred to divide a society so that others in power can more easily control the population. Socialism and communism. Now, while calling critical race theory Marxism in its purest form is accurate, it's a hard sell because a lot of people know what Marxism is. And for those that don't, all they have to do is Google it and they quickly find out. Marxism is a set of social control philosophies put forth by Karl Marx and is used to usher in socialism and eventually communism. The Soviet Union, Cuba, East Germany, North Korea, and Nicaragua have all implemented Marxism and failed with tragic results for their citizens. But this time as we're doing it to you, it's got a very high probability of working. It's kind of like if you're trying to solve the math problem 4 plus 4. You get the answer wrong dozens of times in a row when you say 6, but the next time you say 6, you'll probably get it correct. Here's a fun fact. Hitler used critical race theory thinking against the Jews, teaching Germans to see themselves as victims relative to the flaws he convinced them are inherent in all Jews. He used anger, hate, and blame to divide his population so he could control them by getting many to see Jews as the cause of their problems. He even got his version of critical race theory taught in schools, just like we're doing here. It's almost like history is repeating itself. That's also why it's important to rewrite history. That way we won't notice. And finally, class, let's be real. With critical race theory, to be hip and politically correct, your Instagram bio along with listing your pronouns, you should also list your apology, because you know what you've done. And equity, social justice, and inclusion are words that you'll need to repeat often. It's been scientifically proven that the more you say these words, the more you'll be convinced that you're contributing to the reality of them, even though you're doing the opposite. That's it for today's lesson in critical race theory. Now that I've indoctrinated you into what to think of yourself and other people, got a bright future ahead of you, kids.
A lot of people out there who don't even listen to the news, they don't care about what's going on in life. They think this is a joke. They think this is we're making this up and it's not real. I'm going to play a little clip. This came off of one of these social networks. This is a teacher in a public school in the United States.
I made a comment on one of Miss April's recent videos about PBIS, in which I stated that PBIS is white supremacy with the hug, and a lot of y'all wanted to know more about that. So PBIS concerns itself with positive behaviors. We have to ask ourselves, okay, well, what are those positive behaviors? And it's things like making sure that you're following directions and making sure that you're sitting quietly and you are in your seat and all these things that come from white culture. The idea of just sitting quiet and being told stuff and taking things in a passive stance is not a thing that's in with many cultures. So if we're positively enforcing these behaviors, we are by extension positively enforcing elements of white culture, which therefore keeps whiteness at the center, which is the definition of white supremacy. This is an idea that I think a lot of people have, and I want to call that in lovingly just for a moment. Yes, America contains many cultures and many races. That is not wrong. However, the problem comes when we don't think about this idea or this argument in a racialized way when it comes to power and power dynamics. In America, as in many other parts of the Western world, whiteness is the dominant racial ideology. So when we think of power in terms of race, whiteness has the most power. So while there are people of many different races and cultures living in America, the fact that whiteness is the dominant racialized power structure, that is the problem, and that is why we have to involve race in all of our arguments and considerations.
This is CRT, critical race theory. What he's teaching is that whites are not, they shouldn't be looked up to as the leaders anywhere. They should not be looked up to. They should be denigrated. Anything that whites do is racist automatically. This is the insanity that your child is learning right now in your school. And don't say, well, he doesn't go to public school. It don't matter, dearie. There are communists in every school in the United States. And by the term communist, I mean Democrat. I had a guy come in here yesterday, and he was bitching and moaning about how he can't go hunting where he used to go hunting. I said, where's that? It was, oh, it's a place in California. I said, well, yeah, you got too damn many Democrats down there, and all they want to do is ban guns. He goes, oh, I don't believe that. The Democrats don't ban guns. I don't believe that at all. I looked at him and I said, you're a Democrat, aren't you? What does that got to do with anything? Democrats are the purveyors of perversion. They are the ones that promote sexual perversion, business perversion, for that matter, too, political perversion, ethical and personal integrity perversion. They want to pervert everything that is known. See, the worse you are, the easier it is you are to control, believe it or not. One of the big things that's happening in schools all over the world right now, it's happening all over the world, but mostly it's happening in the United States. Our children are being trained to be sexual perverts. Our children are being trained to be tolerant of evil. Tucker Carlson has something to say on this subject.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Loudoun County, Virginia, right outside Washington, D.C., was for a very long time, for generations, a reasonable place. It was orderly and calm. It was well-maintained. Loudoun County famously worked, certainly in contrast to the city nearby. And then two things happened to Loudoun County. First, lots of federal money flowed in. All those government contracts in Washington made Loudoun County rich. In fact, Loudoun County is now the single richest county in the entire United States. And that's been a problem because any place you find easy money, you will also inevitably find large numbers of unhappy white liberals, those brittle neurotics with the masks on, screaming at everyone else to get in line. Loudoun County has a whole bunch of those people now. It also has a huge number of immigrants. One out of every four people in Loudoun County was born in another country. Now, in general, most immigrants are not very liberal at all, actually. In fact, many of them have what would now be described as extreme right-wing positions on social issues. If you ever have a chance, ask a Salvadoran what he thinks of transgenderism. It'll make you laugh, probably nervously. You'll look around to see if anyone heard it. But as a practical matter, it doesn't matter at all what immigrants, what Salvadorans or Pakistanis think of social issues or how they organize their own families. Immigrants vote overwhelmingly for the Democratic Party, and those votes give more power, not to them, but to those unhappy white liberals who want to blow everything up. And that's why, mystery solved, a lot of places with high levels of recent immigrants tend to be far more liberal than those immigrants themselves. Take a look at the schools if you don't believe it. Loudoun County used to have famously good schools. People wanted to send their kids to those schools. Now those schools are run by lunatics who hate the country. It happened fast, it always does. Here's video from a county school board meeting just 2 days ago. The first person you're gonna see in this video is a middle school teacher called Andrea Weisskopf. Now, as you watch this, keep in mind that Andrea Weisskopf is actually a middle school teacher. She's not a paid actor. We didn't make her up to prove a point. She is entirely real, down to the ostentatiously displayed pronouns in her Twitter bio. Here's Miss Weisskopf explaining how the book To Kill a Mockingbird, a book the rest of us assumed was all about why racism is bad, is in fact itself racist because it causes something called racial trauma due to the fact there are white people in it.
It's funny how they are so afraid of their children seeing another view of sexuality, gender, or religion. If you want to talk about books that are assigned, let's read To Kill a Mockingbird together. If you aren't willing to consider the racial trauma this assigned book causes black children with its white saviorism, then you have no business discussing any books.
So if you don't consider To Kill a Mockingbird racist, says Andrea Weisskopf, then, quote, you have no business discussing any books. Can you even imagine what this lady's personal life must be like? Miserable does not even begin to describe it. Desperate. Hellish. But if she somehow looks familiar, there's a reason for that. You've heard a lot of lectures like this recently from people like Andrea Weisskopf. Stupid people telling you what you're allowed to say and read. That's essentially 2021 summed up in a single sentence. The scariest part is they're telling your kids the exact same thing all day, every day in school. So what effect is that having on your kids, on all of our kids, on the country itself? Well, over time, the effect is unimaginable. For the last year, most parents have put up with this. Either they didn't know it was happening or they felt powerless to stop it from happening. They were afraid to object, to speak up, as lunatics like Andrea Weisskopf hurt their children. But that's changing, finally. Some parents have had enough of this. Watch this mother at this week's Loudoun County School Board meeting.
CRT is not an honest dialogue. It is a tactic that was used by Hitler and the Ku Klux Klan on slavery very many years ago to dumb down my ancestors so we could not think for ourselves. CRT is racist. It is abusive. It discriminates against one's color. Let me educate you. An honest dialogue does not oppress. An honest dialogue does not implement hatred or injustice. It's to communicate without deceiving people. Today, we don't need your agreement. We want action and a backbone for what we asked for today, to ban CRT. I had to come down here today to tell you to your face that we are coming together and we are strong. This will not be the last. Greet and meet, respectfully.
The woman you just saw is called Chantel Cooper, and she deserves an award. Someone please give her an award. Critical race theory is racist, said Chantel Cooper, and she's absolutely right. It certainly is racist. It is obviously, aggressively, flamboyantly racist. Hurting people because of their skin color is the entire point of critical race theory. There is no other point of it. And yet it is now federal policy. Last month, the Department of Education proposed a regulation that directs tax dollars to the race hustlers who traffic in this poison. The administration specifically cited the work of Ibram Kendi, real name Henry Rogers, as well as the entirely fraudulent 1619 project headed by Nicole Hannah Jones. So what are these people like? Well, we're going to show you. This show has just obtained a clip, an event held a few days ago by the Oregon Department of Education. Nicole Hannah Jones spoke at that event, along with a Portland State professor called Ethan Johnson, who supposedly chairs the school's Black Studies Department. According to this Ethan Johnson, and you may be surprised to learn this, slavery is still going.
One of the things that is really important, I think, is to not frame slavery as a legacy, but as it's still here.
So the Civil War never happened. Turns out that your ancestors weren't killed or maimed trying to end slavery. Abraham Lincoln never signed the Emancipation Proclamation. Slavery is still underway. That's the view of some guy who's literally claiming to be a college professor. But he's not alone. People like that are in charge of the schools now. Low IQ vandals wrecking what they did not build. From the very bottom to the very top, they are everywhere. We could give you endless examples. Here's just one, because it happened just hours ago. The state of California has announced announced its new mathematics framework for students across the state, our biggest state. One of the authors of this framework is a Stanford professor called Jo Bowler. Here's how she explained the plan. These are her words, quote, I am very pleased to announce the new mathematics framework for California. Some highlights? A strong social justice orientation. All students should take the same courses, kindergarten through 10th grade. Viva la math revolution! Numbers are racist. Kill them. It's lunacy. It's the French Revolution. This stuff is everywhere. Have you ever taken a look at the books that your kids are being assigned in school? Have you actually read them? Parents in Loudoun County actually did read them. And one mother had the temerity to read portions of those books aloud at the Loudoun County School Board meeting.
Jasper wasn't even my boyfriend, just this dude I did some hacking with once in a while. He was pretty basic library systems, low security not in my league at all, but he had a big and sometimes a girl just needs a big.
Her top lip curled up. Wait a minute, is that what's really going on? She did your homework and you ate her. Is that why you're crying?
It's okay. It's cool. This is what girls do at parties, I told myself and kept dancing with the boy. I couldn't see the alcohol making my waist wind faster. If this is inappropriate for me to read to you, this is inappropriate for our children.
How much did the billion-dollar porn industry contribute to LCPS? My question is now, are you going to use the whole language approach to coincide with this bio reading and teach pole dancing in PE?
No, that was not To Kill a Mockingbird with Scout and Boo Radley. That's racist. What you just heard were excerpts from anti-racist books that have been officially approved by Loudoun County teachers. Here's a man called Brandon Michon trying to read more from those books, daring to read aloud from the books that Loudoun County children are told to read. Watch how they try and shut him up as he does.
I'm going to read an excerpt from a freshman honors English class in Stonebridge. She's a hoe, just like her sister. Every dude on the courts. It's time for LCPS to get their acts in their house in order. The curtain has been pulled back, and people can now see the deficient leadership that's been in this county. My five-year-old is being peddled transgender books in her library. Teenagers are being served pornography under the guise of young adult literature. Do something! Be a leader! Because if you know what? The citizens of this county deserve better. And if you're not willing to do it...
Can you please cover your nose with your mouth?
You're all vaccinated. What the freak? Give me 10 seconds back.
There, you know the rules. Thank you.
Wear your mask when you criticize us. It's a pandemic. In the end, they just cut off his mic.
There was a video that went viral of a mayor in Ohio. He was addressing one of these perverted school boards.
It has come to my attention that your educators are distributing essentially what is child pornography in the classroom. I've spoken to a judge this evening. She's already confirmed that. So I'm going to give you a simple choice. You either choose to resign from this Board of Education or you will be charged. Thank you.
Now, unfortunately, the end result was the school board said, oh, go to hell. And they did nothing, and he hasn't done anything yet, so we have no idea what's going to happen come from there. We'll just have to see. But I can tell you this. Enough people are standing up to these communist bastards all over the United States that they're afraid now. As a matter of fact, the teachers' unions, which are pushing this perversion, went to the White House, and they're saying, please protect us from these right-wing extremists, these people who hate people. They hate everyone. They hate us, and they're scaring us. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, of course, Dimwit said, yes, we'll see what we can do. Now we're going into the section that I call Islamicide, death by Muslim. California, you know all these Afghans that came out. Okay, now these are all Muslims, and these are all inbred, and this is standard operating procedure, and this is what they're doing for the United States. They have to dilute the Americans so much. They're moving almost 60,000 of these things into the United States covertly. They're hiding them. The numbers we can't get at all. But I can tell you this, there's 20,000 more coming to California to a school near you.
The Sacramento area is home to the largest number of Afghan refugees nationwide, which is why the San Juan Unified School District has hired a team to help immigrant students and their families succeed.
CBS 13's Rachel Wolf shows us how they can help a new wave of refugees from Afghanistan.
When I came to the United States, my children were not able to speak in English.
Saifullah Jilani immigrated from Afghanistan in 2017 because he was concerned for his family's safety.
Every day we were waiting to kidnapping or for hijacking or also for bomb blast.
His heart goes out to the thousands of Afghan refugees in this area waiting for what happens next.
They are mentally affected.
He's thankful his family was able to take advantage of a program in the San Juan Unified School District that welcomes immigrant students and their families. More than half of the students at Star King Middle School are refugees, with nearly 3,000 in the district.
We support the students academically, socio-emotionally. Also, we support the families.
Through the help of state grants, the district offers 22 programs, including Saturday classes, which are particularly popular because parents can attend.
Where they're learning how to navigate the school system and American society.
There's also a soccer program for students. The goal? To encourage team building, offer friendship, and support. Sayyid Mansour works one-on-one with families.
We should observe their confidentiality. We should create trustful relationship, and we should be very positive.
With this help, Jelani's two younger boys were able to graduate from Star King Middle School.
Their GPA increased to over 4. That was a big happiness for me.
And his oldest was accepted at UC Berkeley. He's already trying to help connect refugees with the program and gets emotional when he thinks about the global crisis and the greater need.
So what we see here, there's all of these programs, and these programs are for the refugees. If you're white, you can forget it. If you're an American, you can forget it. You don't deserve any of this stuff. They need help, though. Not to assimilate into our culture. Heaven forbid that would ever happen. But to maintain their integrity, their cultural integrity, see. And we're going to do that because we're going to help them do that. Now, it's because we have the money and people are stupid enough to keep paying their taxes. And that's what's going to make all of these Muslims happy in the United States. Of course, when the no-go zones start popping up more than they are, all a whole bunch of them in Minneapolis and Minnesota and New York, when they start popping up all over places like Sunnyvale and San Francisco and Gardena and other places like that, well, it'll be too late for me to say, I told you so.
What are they trying to do?
That's the missing piece. But it's not hard to imagine. Driven not only by corporate greed, but a darker objective.
The takeover of America.
And then the world itself, by any means necessary, however violent, or cruel, or efficient. By severe drought, brought on by weather wars, conducted secretly using aerial contaminants and high-altitude electromagnetic waves. In a state of perpetual war. To create problem, reaction, solution scenarios to distract, enrage, and enslave American citizens at home. With tools like the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act, which abridge the Constitution in the name of national security. The militarization of police forces in cities across the U.S., the building of prison camps by the Federal Emergency Management Agency with no stated purpose, the corporate takeover of food and agriculture, pharmaceuticals and healthcare, even the military in clandestine agendas to fatten, dull, sicken, and control a populace already consumed by consumerism.
And I encourage you all to go shopping more.
A government that taps your phone, collects your data, and monitors your whereabouts with impunity. A government preparing to use that data against you when it strikes and the final takeover begins.
The takeover of America.
By a well-oiled and well-armed multinational group of elites that will cull, kill, and subjugate.
Very apt warning from the X-Files. I'll try and get a better copy of that, but I have that on there to introduce the government threat category. So I was looking on the internet, because I have a generator that needs a new carburetor. So I'm looking on the internet, and I'm seeing if I can find a video of how to pull this carburetor and do the work on it and all of this stuff. And I came across this article, and I'm thinking, this has got to be one of those joke articles. It's not. There is a bill that's on the desk of the governor in California. AB 1346, it would end the production of gas-powered small engines. These are the engines that are used in generators, lawn equipment, and they want to cease the production of them in California. See, that's the first step. They want to cease the production, and then they want to ban the use of these gas-powered tools, these gas-powered generators, these little gas-powered go-kart-type things, scooters, that kind of stuff. They want to ban all that. They want to replace it with batteries, right? No, I don't mind. You know, that's fine. Except the technology isn't there yet. A battery-powered motorcycle has a you can go like 50 miles with it, and that's it. All right, so this is not logical. But this is what they want. They want to ban these things. And it's funny, the article shows the exact generator that I'm need to rebuild the carburetor on. Yeah, this is the typical commie liberal crap. I am astounded. And you know, the problem is that, and it's not just there, is that people are afraid to speak up about this stuff. Generally, they just complain to each other. They're afraid to speak up. But my resident comedian has good reasons why you should never speak up to a totalitarian government.
Have you noticed all the tyranny happening in the world right now? Authoritarian regimes demanding obedience so they can take over, trying to create two classes of citizens with their passports and mandates, violating all your constitutional rights. And maybe you've been pretending like nothing's happening because you're afraid to speak out. Well, I just want you to know, that's great. It would be wrong to speak out at a time like this. Here's why. For starters, speaking out means you could lose some people's approval, and that would be really scary for you. That's why you shouldn't do it, because of your fear. And therefore, not speaking out means you'll gain the approval of people who approve of living in fear. Speaking out requires bravery, and nobody respects people who are brave. They only respect those who are agreeable all the time. And if you can stay in line with the agreeability of tyrants, then you know you're doing good work in the world, because you're aligned with tyrants. I get it. You don't want to speak out because you're afraid you might lose some things, like a job, friends, your status quo. And if you look at tyrannical regimes and how they work, you'll see that by not speaking out in order to protect yourself from losing those things, then eventually you'll lose everything. But who cares? At least you'll still be agreeable. When evil and abuse are happening to people, the heroes of society see it and do nothing. You're a hero who doesn't want to help people to protect your own self-interest. Keep it up. In Vegas, the Clark County Commission voted on and passed a resolution banning free speech. And the White House is telling Facebook what to censor. This is objectively the government taking away your First Amendment right to free speech. And you not speaking out about it now while you have the chance helps create a better world where you can't speak out about it, even if you wanted to. It's all for your protection. Right? So of course you wouldn't want to speak out against such helpful protection. In Australia, government soldiers are shooting people with rubber bullets for peacefully protesting against their mandates, and they're forcefully locking people in their homes. Here they've thrown a 74-year-old woman to the ground and are dousing her in pepper spray. Can we all just please agree this is still for our protection? Because if we can agree on that, then we won't have to be inconvenienced by standing up for our rights. The authorities are violating everyone's constitutional rights by, amongst other things, closing businesses, closing churches, and forcing children to cover their faces. And you should continue not speaking up about it, because they don't want you to. It's like the abusers will be implementing a social credit system, and by watching it all happen while you're doing and saying nothing, you're already earning yourself a good social credit score, which keeps you in good standing with the abusers, rather than being in good standing with good people. If Hollywood celebrities who will be kicked out of the industry for not following the mainstream narrative are telling you to shut up and follow the mainstream narrative, I think it's a good idea to shut up and follow the mainstream narrative. If someone who's sold their soul for money is telling you to do something because they were paid money to tell you to do that something, then I think it's a good idea for you to do that something. Maybe you're an influencer that doesn't want to disturb their following so you don't risk losing the comfortable life you have. You, of all people, should not be speaking out, because unapologetically standing for what's right might put you at risk of actually earning your audience's respect. Banning people from participating in society isn't an issue you should speak up on, because then they might think you're one of them. So instead, when you look at the days when blacks had less rights, women had no rights, and the Nazis were discriminating against Jews from participating in normal society, you'll want to do your best to believe that this time it's a good idea. And it is a good idea, because it's for your protection. in the same way whites were protected from blacks and Germans were protected from Jews. So it's like that. One day they'll probably make movies about people like you who stood by doing nothing while society was divided and destroyed by authoritarians. Still like Schindler's List. They made a movie about a guy who helped save the lives of people who were being discriminated against. But that's not very relatable to you. Wouldn't you rather watch a movie about the people who just shut up and turned in their neighbors? If you did speak out, it might have been cool one day to have your kids and grandkids thank you for fighting for their freedom. But instead, thanks to your willingness to not speak up for their freedom because you're too scared, your kids and grandkids might not ever know what freedom is because of you. I think with all that's going on in the world right now, the right thing to do is to just shut up and let it happen. If you've been standing on the sidelines doing nothing, even though things don't quite seem right to you, just keep standing there. Because if something really needs to be done, then someone else will do it, right?
So now we're under a dimwit's category, you know, the guy that's now in charge of Shady Acres in Washington, D.C. At least he thinks he's in charge. No, he doesn't. He doesn't even think he's in charge. He knows he's not in charge because he keeps talking about how they let him do this and they let him do that. But now what I'm going to tell you, it's an article by the AP, and you're going to say to me, now, that's ridiculous. That's a lie. That's made up. There's no way in hell anybody in their right mind would, well, wait a minute, what right mind? AP News, U.S. steps up effort to unite families separated under Trump. What? A federal task force is launching a new program that officials say will expand efforts to find parents, many of whom are in remote Central American communities, and help them return to the United States, where they will get at least 3 years of legal residency and other assistance. Let me explain this to you in English. Everybody who came to the United States and was sent back. If four people came and said we're a family and only one of them qualified to come into the United States and the other three got sent back, if somebody dropped a kid over the fence, which you saw as well as I did, then they're going to find the families in Central America and Mexico anywhere. This is why you saw the coyotes sneaking children into the United States. Little babies. They throw them over the fence because they knew that dimwit and the communists in charge of the U.S., because they'd already talked about it, were going to be bringing their families over now and giving them at least 3 years of legal residency and other assistance. You're not going to believe this. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. You get to do that your own. Just go to armchairsurvivalist.com on the left-hand side of the page, show notes. You know how to do it. You'll find it. Now, here comes some bad news. Because the communists don't like the fact that there's law enforcement in the United States. The commies in charge of the White House, whatever, I don't even know what words to use now, are deciding to take new actions to monitor police departments nationwide. Now, these are to monitor police departments because police departments are fascist and evil and they commit so many crimes and they're inherently racist and all of this stuff. So they're monitoring. And these are new efforts involving court-appointed monitors who oversee police departments across the U.S. They're expanding more and more of those, right? So that's one article. That's one article here, right? You look at that part and then you find this part. The Department of Homeland Security is basically going to federalize law enforcement in the United States. This is the thing that we were warned about 50 years ago. And they don't call it federalizing the police departments. They don't call it that. The Department of Homeland Security announces continued efforts, outline steps taken to address best practices in law enforcement efforts. And this is directly from the DHS.gov website. Came out September 29th. The Department of Homeland Security announced the formation of the Law Enforcement Coordination Council, the department's first unified law enforcement coordination body, to comprehensively assess a broad range of law enforcement matters, including its law enforcement policies and training. Okay, in English, they're going to be telling all police departments, sheriff's departments, law enforcement organizations in the United States how to operate, what they can do, when they can do it, and I guarantee you the next step is going to be to put them all in the same uniform. They've already tried this once decades ago. And now when the communists are in charge, they got to do all of this stuff fast, ladies and gentlemen. They can't waste time because they know eventually people are going to say that's enough of this. But right now, as it sits, the law enforcement in the United States is about to become federalized. I saw this happening in Los Angeles when I was down there, and this is in the 70s. It doesn't matter who the president is. The deep state is every agency under the president. Every agency. Doesn't matter who the president is. Their goal, the deep state's goal, has always been complete subjugation and control of all citizens in the United States. At least all of them that are left alive. But they're killing off the idiots now with this vaccine. Problem we have is now we have an idiot for president.
Good evening, guinea pigs. Our top stories tonight. Biden's new tyrannical mandate. A trans MMA fighter beats a woman to a pulp. Comedians are at odds. Gavin Newsom recall results are in. There's new pharmaceutical billionaires. And rageful AOC is turning heads with her tax the rich dress. We'll have all this for you and more in tonight's indoctrination. But first, we start with Biden's new tyrannical mandate. Last week, while trying to read off a teleprompter, President Puppet announced a new jab mandate for businesses with over 100 employees. While attempting to read words that someone else wrote for him, he said the new mandate is intended to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated. And there's no doubt that that makes a lot of sense. Likewise, the Babylon Bee reported another Biden announcement where he'll mandate that everyone has to put on sunscreen in order to protect those who are already wearing sunscreen. Sound logic as well, if you have enough head trauma. But back to the jab mandate. Surprisingly, Biden pretending he has the constitutional authority to institute such a mandate was met with an avalanche of backlash. So far, more than half the states have stood up and vowed to fight Biden's unconstitutional mandate. Arizona is leading the charge, having already filed a lawsuit against the senior citizen. And many lions came out refusing to give up their freedoms to tyrants, strongly initiating an "I will not comply" movement. Weird that most people are refusing to comply with Biden's mandate, because like every other freedom the radically awesome left has tried to take, Biden said this one is also for your protection. This just in! Throughout history, the only strategy that authoritarians have successfully used to get people to voluntarily give up their freedoms is by telling them it's for their protection. Fear puts people in a weakened state. They can't access their intelligence if you keep them scared enough. Case rates are through the roof, and you could be next. Unsuspiciously, though, Congress and their staff are exempt from Biden's new mandate. But before you become racist and think this is a rules for thee but not for me scenario, you need to understand the truth, which is probably just that the Biden administration is selflessly wanting others to have the chance to be forced to be injected with a mystery before them. Kind of like a mother not eating so that her kids don't starve. Except in this scenario, there's plenty of food for the mother to eat too. And it's rotten food. So it's kind of like she just doesn't want to eat the rotten food that she's forcing her kids to eat. Clearly, a very loving and caring mother. The UK, which has been going hard in the paint to control their citizens, has just announced they'll be abandoning the passport system. Please let that be a lesson to you. If you rise up and make your voice heard and your actions heard by refusing to comply with tyrannical overreach, you can make a difference in upholding your freedoms. And you should never do that, because you're putting us all at risk of being infected with freedom. Because when it comes down to it, we're all just wanting to be protected. Screw your freedom. Right, Arnold?
Well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No, screw your freedom.
Yeah, that's right, Arnold. Screw your freedom. And with jab passports in the world of comedy, there's a tale of two opposing comedians with very different stances. One comedian, Patton Oswalt, has announced he'll be canceling all shows at venues that will not require passports. A very heroic devotion to upholding the fear-based narrative that we're tirelessly still trying to get you to believe in. And on the other hand, you have a far-right, Trump-supporting, transphobic, racial-phobic, pro-police, pro-America, anti-vaxxer, homophobic, heterophobic, very binary comedian named J.P. Sears, who's announced he will not be doing any shows at venues that do require jab passports. When asked why he's wishing certain death upon his audience who's facing the challenge of a 99.98% survival rate, he said, "I will never ask my audience to participate in a system of segregating society. I would never sell them out like that to make money." George Soros wouldn't fund a statement like that. So there's no way we can endorse an albino supremacist comedian who's dangerous enough to think that people should choose what happens to their bodies. Rumor also has it that this comedian is dumb enough to think women are the only ones who can give birth. In other news, AOC, who earns a $174,000 a year salary, along with untold amounts of money from her merchandise line, is a capitalist who preaches about socialism. Seems honest. But the former bartender is facing an avalanche of criticism for wearing a tax the rich dress to the Met Gala, which is a $35,000 a ticket dinner. She wore that along with her $400 earrings and $600 shoes, which went well with her worthless ideas. Conspiracy theorists have been calling AOC a hypocrite for being wealthier than most due to capitalism, as she bashes capitalism while promoting socialism. This just in! If a capitalist tries to convince you to accept socialism, they're either dumb or corrupt. But probably both. Many non-communists, when observing pictures of the bartender turned moron, were perplexed with the question, how can someone so attractive look so repulsive? We may never know. AOC, who uses the slogan "tax the rich" in her merch in order to get rich, has apparently never been told the rich are already taxed. Quite heavily, actually. The top 1% of income earners pay 40% of all income tax revenue. That reality is probably just a conspiracy theory that would hurt AOC's merch sales, as she looks to appeal to a demographic that doesn't want to work hard or take self-responsibility. She inspires us all to strive for victimhood rather than settling for our potential. The nation that she hates is lucky to have such a pillar of emotional outrage to indoctrinate the youth into socialism. No one likes Kamala Harris. Tonight, we're delighted to report that the CEOs of Moderna and BioNTech, along with seven other individuals in the pharmaceutical industry, have become billionaires due to the successful business plan of the vax rollout. I didn't know anyone was profiting off the thing they're trying to force everyone to get. We won't ask any questions about that. But you know who is asking questions? A conspiracy theorist who's never been proven wrong named Mickey Willis in his new book, Plandemic: Fear is the Virus, Truth is the Cure. In this book, which is filled with dangerous things like words and ideas, misinformation is presented, which suggests the pandemic is somehow not about keeping people safe from a virus. The book offers an alarming examination of Fauci, Gates, the CDC, NIH, and World Health Organization. But I don't know why anyone would want to find out the very things that we use censorship to keep you from finding out. The book uses things like evidence and references to brainwash people into thinking for themselves, and into not buying into the mainstream narrative that we spend billions of dollars to get you to buy into. For your protection, do not get this book. I, for one, think this book should be burned and reading banned altogether. Because after all, we need to protect ourselves from misinformation at all costs. Literary lockdowns are necessary. You can always trust the media and politicians to bring you nothing but the truth. We've got nothing to hide. Promise. Moving along, two FDA scientists, along with 12 others from the organization, will be resigning from the FDA. They won't endorse booster shots due to their scientific perspectives on the matter. But because the Biden administration wants booster shots for other reasons, These scientists are being forced to resign so that the... Sorry for our technical difficulty. What I was saying is, due to their scientific incompetency, these racist scientists are being forced to resign from the FDA. In other news, Gavin Newsom won the California recall election in a landslide victory, getting approximately 100% of all votes. Nothing suspicious at all. Newsom's campaign achieved unprecedented levels of success in race baiting when they called Larry Elder the blackface of white supremacy. Newsom, the white face of the Chinese Communist Party, can now get back to work, driving California even deeper into a destroyed economy with more lockdowns, further increases in violent crimes, decriminalizing more crimes, more homelessness, if that's even possible, and driving all businesses out of the state. In our final story tonight, a transgender MMA fighter was allowed to fight a woman and beat her half to death. This was a strong victory for the woke inclusivity movement, which rightfully believes all people should have the right to beat up women. The transgender athlete, Alana McLaughlin, somehow defied the odds and came out on top with a victory. A true underdog story that's rewriting the script and kicking gender barriers right in the spot where their nuts used to be, while inspiring all people to believe we too can inflict violence onto women. That's it for tonight's top stories. Thank you for paying attention to our reporting on Biden's new mandates so we can divert your attention from the treason Biden committed in Afghanistan. That situation's far from over. Good night.
And now this brings me to the point that I wanted to make today. We're going to talk about battle weapons. These are not the little 22 caliber pop guns that you take out and you shoot squirrels with and something like that. These aren't the guns you use to put meat on the table. These are the weapons you use if you have to defend yourself, your family, your country against an enemy. Now, I want you to understand, I hear a lot of people tell me the same thing. Oh, yeah, yeah, no. Our military will protect us. They won't go along with illegal orders. No. Military worldwide for thousands of years are nothing more than paid thugs that do exactly what their rulers' biddings tell them to do. In other words, whoever's paying them, that's the guy in charge. And that's what's going to happen. So if the military are told you're to fire on the civilians, they might feel bad about it afterwards, but they'll do what they're told to do because that's the chain of commands, and that's how it works. And it's the same thing with city, county, state, federal police departments, sheriff's departments, and any of their law enforcement agencies that are in use. So when the Schumer hits the fan, it's you and me, baby, and that's it. You're not going to have any friends in law enforcement or in the military unless you look at the individuals. As a group, no. They'll do exactly what they're told to do because that's how they're paid. But there are individuals who will stand up for what's right, and that's the thing you do not want or have to rely on. You need to be able to take care of yourself. Now, 120 years ago, a battle weapon was a bolt-action rifle. And that bolt-action rifle might hold 5 rounds in it. And that would be like a 1903 or 1903A3 or an Enfield or a Mauser. These are old military battle weapons. Very powerful. Nowadays, the same calibers are used to hunt deer, elk, bear, moose, what have you. When we're talking about battle weapons in today's times, we're talking about semi-automatic or fully automatic weapons such as the AK-47, the AR-15, the SKS, HK-91, M1A, FNFAL, SETME, Daewoo, Steyr AUG, the Valme, M1 Garand. These are known and tried and tested battle weapons. Many of them were select fire. You can either go semi-automatic or full auto. Now, don't discount bolt-action rifles as battle weapons, but they're not the ones that you're going to be using if 10 guys try to kick your front door in. What you're going to want is something that throws as much lead downstream as possible, and that's what those are. If you know your enemy, it's best to use weapons that take their calibers, because then you just kill them and take their ammo. So that would be like in the AR versions, the AR-15s, the M16s, those kind of rifles, platforms that were most people are used for. These are .223 caliber, which is .223 bullet is about 40 grains, and this is generality. It changes about 40 to 50 grains of weight. and it goes about 3,000 feet per second. It's a fast 22 is what it is, okay? Then there's the Soviet block and a Chinese block caliber, which is 7.62 by 39. That basically is an exact duplicate of a Winchester 30-30 round. So if you're familiar with a 30-30, 7.62 by 39 is exactly the same ballistics. And then they also have, in the Soviet block, the 7.62 by 54R. R stands for rimmed, and that's their heavier-duty, long-range sniper rifles. And then in the NATO block, which is the U.S., 308, 30-06, and then you have the U.K. block, which is 303, and everybody interchanges the ammunition. There's also 8mm that are used, 300 Win Mag, and 50 BMG as sniper rifles. So there's different ones out there, okay? You want something that can throw as much ammo downrange as possible. That's a battle weapon. If you're trying to get out of Dodge and there's a roadblock all of a sudden pops up, you're not going to defend yourself with a Beretta 92 pistol. I mean, you can, but you need something that, again, can throw as much lead downrange as possible. I'm not saying these aren't to be used for accuracy. I'm saying these are battle weapons. They're used in the heat of war. In Vietnam, I used an M1 carbine or an M2 carbine at one time, which is a full auto 30 caliber rifle. It's like a 9mm pistol. The bullet goes about 1,000 feet per second. It's 110 grains, goes about 1,000 feet per second. And M1 carbine, 110 grains, 2,000 feet per second. So it's a nice little pop gun, I can tell you that right now. Find what you want. And many of you already have these weapons. And many of you just got them because, damn it, they're going to tell me I can't get it, so I'm going to get it just because I want it. Well, you need to train with it. I don't care what you got. I don't care what weapon you have. You need to train yourself with it. You need to know everything about it. Now, my area of expertise when I was a master gunsmith was M1 Grands, M1 Carbines, Mausers, Enfields, and the bolt-action rifles from World War I, World War II, and the like. They're made for different ranges. Like, I wouldn't use a bolt-action rifle as a main battle weapon because you can't shoot it that fast. That's something you're going to use. You're going to sit back 500 to 1,000 yards and lob the rounds in. So up close and personal, you need something that has a little less powerful round than the long-range guns, but something more strong than the handguns. And yes, more strong isn't a word. It's supposed to be stronger. That would be a mid-range gun. And again, we're going back to the AR-15s, the AK-47s. And these are the two platforms that most people are familiar with. The AR-15 is a .223 caliber weapon. This is a U.S. military weapon. And you see, there's 1,000 different variants of that. Then you have the AK-47 variants. Now, with the AK-47, you also have what's called the SKS. These are both Russian weapons. The AK-47 was designed as a select fire weapon, full auto or semi-automatic. They're very accurate. Then they also have the semi-automatic only SKS. Now, the SKS generally loads from the top, and it holds 10 rounds at a time. There are various magazines you can buy, replacement magazines that clip underneath of the SKS that can hold 20 or 30 rounds, but they're problematic. And if you're going to carry a gun with the Russian ammo, 7.62 by 39, you might as well use an AK as an SKS, okay? Because the AK is designed to handle the detachable magazines. And the detachable magazines for an AK version can be 5 rounds. They can be 10, 20, 30, 40, or 100-round drums even. Now, the key behind an AK is this. When I went to Vietnam, I was taken out into a little rice paddy. Had about a foot of slimy, gunky water in it. And my instructor stood out in the middle of it. And there's about 20 of us guys, about 20, 30 feet away. And he goes, I want you all to understand this one lesson. And this is the only lesson I'm giving you today. He reaches down into the water, into the gunk. And he pulls up this thing. We weren't even sure it was a gun. He shook off the mud, raised it in the air, and fired 30 rounds fast. That was an AK-47. He said, these guns are made for these idiot farmers to shoot because they're never going to clean it. They're never going to give a damn about it. They just want bullets to come out of the end of it. So we learned that real fast. You take an AR-15 or an M16, which is the select fire version of the civilian AR-15. You drop that in the water, in the gunk and mud. You pull it up. You might get one round out of it, and then everything's going to jam. Gas system is very finicky on an AR. You have to clean it You know, the rule of thumb with all weapons is if you shoot it, you clean it that day, if you can. That way, your weapon's going to last longer than it's expected to. And your life may depend on your weapon. So what you need to do is figure out, you know, how heavy are you? How tall are you? How old are you? How much weight do you want to carry? Can your shoulders handle the recoil of the weapon? So there's a lot of variance that you have to put into figuring out what you want. Now, M1 carbine, if you guys could get one, first off, never let your wife or girlfriend shoot it. She'll never give it back to you. It is a pussycat gun, my mom called it. But I got my first deer with one. And those things, 10, 20, 30 round mags. Ammo, you can find a lot of it, especially surplus right now. There, if you got a pen and paper handy, you really should if you listen to me. There's a website, palmettostatearmory.com. palmettostatearmory.com. Look it up. If it's not spelled right, figure it out. You'll find it. Sign up for their newsletter. They sell all kinds of different firearm stuff, and they sell seconds. You can buy a complete upper for an AR-15 from a 9-inch barrel to a 30-inch barrel from them, and they ship it right directly to your house. You don't need a gun dealer for that. You'll need a gun dealer for the frame, which would be the lower receiver on an AR. But Palmetto State Armory has all kinds of bargains and deals out there. And you can take, if you have your lower for the AR, you can do all kinds of weird stuff with it. Sometimes it's not legal. You're not allowed to put a 9-inch upper on an AR lower unless you have a tax stamp. So I don't want you committing any felonies or anything like that you're going to get caught for. So don't, just be careful. But so you need to figure out what weapon you're comfortable with. And the best way to do that, go to a gun show. Like we have a gun show right now down in Coeur d'Alene. You go there, they'll let you pick up the guns and put them up to your shoulder and feel comfortable with them. Not shoot them, of course. That you're going to have to go out to a range. But standard weaponry now for the majority of the world will either be an AR-15, M16 platform, or an AK version. That's fairly standard right now. Now, Russia's changing that because of the point that I made in the first thing. If you can, shoot the same weapon of the caliber your enemy's shooting. Well, Russia doesn't want that now, so they're changing their calibers. China's kind of doing the same thing. But if you watch the country that Dimwit gave back to the Muslims, you'll see that they're all carrying the AK versions. Well, now they're carrying the AR versions because, well, we left $80 billion worth there for them. So what you need to do is find yourself a gun that you're going to use, something that you're comfortable with, something that you can hold up with. Most battle weapons are 10 pounds. There are many of them that aren't. So it's up to you, and you have to look at longevity. How long is this going to last? How long is this gun that I'm buying going to last? You don't need a dozen battle weapons unless you got a dozen guys. But how long is it going to last? Is it made for long-term shooting? Can I do 1,000 rounds a day and never have to worry about the trigger spring breaking or the barrel melting down or any of that stuff? You got to consider some of that stuff. Ask questions. Find out everything that you can about these guns. Most rifles, when you buy them, have iron sights on them already. So a lot of the AR don't because they have a flat top and they expect you to put some kind of a optic on it already. They don't have sights. You can get iron sights if you have very good vision and you don't envision shooting 500 to 1,000 yards with a thing. But you can get all kinds of different optics available, anywhere from $25 to $10,000. It just depends on your money and your mood. But they have a red dot, and it's real simple. It mounts on top of your gun. It runs, most of them run on a 2032 button battery. You turn it on. In the middle of the screen, which is see-through, is a red dot. You put that over your target, and that's theoretically where the bullet's going to hit. Now, it's adjustable just like a normal scope, and you can put normal scopes on your guns as well. It all depends. The problem in a battle weapon with a normal scope is that you're not going to acquire your target instantly, and you need to. You need to be able to pull that gun up and see your target in the other end of it and pull the trigger quick. And that's what the red dot scopes are. You can go on, if you don't know what they are, go to a gun show, look around, or you go on YouTube, and you'll see all kinds of different variants of red dot scopes. Now, red dot, it's usually about three inches long and about an inch and a half diameter, and it mounts on a Weaver rail, okay? Boom, pops right on. You use it with both eyes open because it has no amplification. Now, there is a add-on you can buy. it's another scope that clips on the other side of a red dot scope, and it will amplify 2, 3, 4 times. So now you got a 4-power scope on her with a red dot. And this amplification unit actually flips off to the side in case you don't want to amplify anything. You'd have to see it to understand it. And there's a lot of different types of scopes out there. There are so many different variants of types of scopes. It's just totally ridiculous. There are, and just for normal iron sights, you have V-notch, you have U-notch, you've got a bead, like on a shotgun. So there's different types of sights. You need to find whatever you can be comfortable with. And there's only 2 rules with firearms. I'm covering a lot of stuff in a short time. There's only 2 rules to firearms. Number 1, there's no such thing as an empty gun. Think about that. There's no such thing as an empty gun. So if I pull my gun out, let's say I got a Glock on and it's got a 10-round mag, and I pull my gun out and I drop the mag and I clear the chamber and I hand the gun to you. Is that gun empty? What's rule number 1? There's no such thing as an empty gun. You are going to pull that slide back and double check to make sure there's no round in it. Even if you just saw me do that. Because there's no such thing as an empty gun. What is it? The first words out of a guy's mouth after he accidentally shoots himself or someone next to him. I thought it was empty. All right. There's no such thing as an empty gun. And number 2, never point a gun at something you don't want a hole in. It's real simple. This ain't rocket science. So you've got a handgun. You don't swing it around at you, pointing it at your person standing next to you or some guy 100 feet away, unless you want to put a hole in it. So if you pick up your gun and you point it at a can, that's fine because you want to put a hole in that can. Same thing with the rifle. Now, I used to train handgun fighting, and I would take their handgun, whatever it was, and I would stick a 3-foot section of doweling in the end. Okay? Now, when they swing that gun around, you'll hear at the range when they hit the wall. Or when they hit the guy next to him, okay? And sometimes, we had this one instructor, he used a 5-foot piece of doweling. He drove his point home, I can tell you that right now. Firearms are tools, and you need to find the one that you're going to be comfortable with, and you need to take it out, and you need to shoot it. Now, you also need to clean it, and I mentioned that. For every firearm you get, you better make sure you have a cleaning kit for it. There's a lot of these multi-caliber cleaning kits out there. I don't know about you, but I keep losing the tips. So stock up on the cleaning kits and the cleaning solvents. I can give you a secret on cleaning. There's all these different types of chemicals you can buy to clean your gun with. And I found that I simply used synthetic oil. I bought a can of synthetic oil that you put in your car. I used it as a scrubber scrubber solvent. And then I used it to lubricate firearms. We did this in the shop so we could do it fast and not worry about running out of solvents and such. It was phenomenal. It broke all the carbon loose. It cleaned everything up perfectly. And then it lubricated the firearms. And it's a synthetic, so it's not going to evaporate. There's a lot of oils out there. You know, use whatever you want. And in emergency situations, believe me, you'll be using anything you can get your hands on. Stock up on oil. Stock up on lubricants. You would be surprised how much I have in my back room, let's just say. All kinds of stuff. You can find books. Every gun that you have, you need to have a manual on so that you know exactly what you're doing. And if you're smart and you have ability to do so, go on YouTube and look at how the guns are assembled, disassembled, how to clean them, how to take care of them. If you get an AR-15, like you go to the gun show, you can pick up an AR-15 for $600, $700, new ones. They might have a little manual with them, but a lot of times they don't. So you go home and you look up on YouTube how to clean an AR-15, how to disassemble an AR-15. There are videos there that show you how to make one from scratch, and you can do that. With the AR platform, you can buy all the parts from scratch and just put them all together. And these videos show you how to do it. The videos show you how to clean stubborn carbon blocks in the AR-15 when the exhaust pipe gets plugged up. Same thing with the AK-47. It has a gas tube also, which is about 10 times in diameter as the AR platforms are. But there's a lot of stuff that you need to pay attention to. Ask as many questions as possible. And for every weapon you buy, you'll need, if it's handgun, you'll need holsters. You'll need a holster to fit it. If you want, there's different holsters for different reasons. If you want a totally concealed one and don't have a little belly or big belly like me, you can get the ones that slip inside your belt. in your pants, or you get a shoulder holster, or you get a belt holster. There's many different variants of holsters. There's no rule that you only need one. You also need to get any extra mags. Now, that's for handguns or long guns. AR-15s, AKs, get as many extra mags as you can. There's also different types you can do. You can get plastic, you can get steel, you can get aluminum. You can even get drums. For both the AR and the AK, you can get 100-round drums. They're anywhere from $150 to $300, depending on the quality and what it is exactly. Now, I'm going to have on my website a bunch of links, okay, for the gun talk here. And it's everything that you can imagine, all kinds of information. And then I got a neat YouTube video. You know John Wick, the series with Keanu Reeves? I have a video of how he trains. It's a YouTube video. If you ever seen the John Wick movies and him doing all of this stuff with the guns, he's really doing it. It's not CGI. It's not make-believe. And it's not a stand-in. He is trained to handle firearms like you wouldn't believe. So anyway, I'm going to have all these links. They're going to be really interesting to you. But I would advise, especially this day and age, get yourself a good battle weapon and stock up on ammo. And that's another point. All the surplus 223, 7.62x39, 30-06, 300 Win Mag, even 50 BMG that was surplus and being sold from Russia to the United States was banned 2 months ago. The imports banned on this weapon, on these ammos. If you think ammunition is expensive now, wait until everybody realizes that cheap stuff ain't coming in the country anymore. All right, that's all I got for now. So, survivalenterprises.com, SE1.US, 800-753-1981. CBD is still on sale, 20% off through the month. And if you want, when you contact us, tell us to put you on our email list, because it's the email list that gets all the information first. It's you guys listening to me on the radio and the email list. So anyway, keep your nose in the air and ear to the ground and do what you got to do now. I'll see you next time.